morning. God led me a different way. And you know, it really matters what we say and how we say it to people and how we use our tongue. And so God would have me to just challenge you this morning. Because you know, your Sunday school crowd's usually your saved crowd. And I pray that everybody in here knows Jesus Christ as their Savior. I can't see your heart, only God can. But I know one thing, that the words we say to people are going to make a difference in this world for sure. And I know there's a lot of things that I've said in my lifetime that I wish I could take back. But once it's out of the mouth gate, it's out there. And it's already done its deed. And so if you have your Bibles open here to James, I'm just going to read one verse and then go through some other verses. But James chapter 1 and verse 26. The Bible says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. And that word vain means worthless, useless. So let's bow for prayer. Father God in heaven, I thank you for this pastor and his family and this church family and their kindness to me already. And I thank you for the room that provided, the meal this morning. And Father, thank you for the opportunity to come here and open the sacred book and stand behind the sacred desk. And Father, I pray that you'd fill me from my head to my feet with your Holy Spirit and use these lips of clay for your glory today. And Father, help us to think about what we say and how we say it and who we say it to and how it can be used for either good or evil. And Father, I pray that we'd just take this question to heart this morning. How's your tongue? For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. You know, when you go to the doctor, the first thing he tells you to do is what? Stick out your tongue. Let me take a look at your tongue, because a doctor can tell a lot from your tongue what's going on in your body just by looking at your tongue. You know, when I got saved, I lost half of my vocabulary. I was a pretty rough character back in the day, and I cussed and drank and smoked and all that. I'm not proud of that. But I'm telling you, when I got saved, all of that changed. And I stopped saying a lot of things that I used to say. And I remember one of the first times that I gave my testimony, it was at Shenandoah Baptist Church in Cleveland, Tennessee. And I was very nervous. And I got up and sang a song, gave my testimony. And then I went and sat down. I was a brand new Christian. And I remember the pastor getting up there and said, "Now, church, you know, Bruce is a brand new Christian. And, you know, he's growing and he's learning. So we'll just have to be patient with him." And I sat there and I went, "Wow, what did I say? I must have said something." But in my pride, I should have went to the pastor and said, "Pastor, if there was something I said, you know, tell me." But I was going through my mind trying to think, what did I say? What did I say? What did I say? And I remember repeating this one word over and over, and it was the word G-O-S-H. And you say, "Well, that's not that bad." But I kept thinking about it, and it kept bothering me. And I remember I went back home. I was still living in Tennessee at the time, and I went back home, and my brother was at his church, and I went by his office, and I said, "Sammy, something's bothering me. I'm having a hard time with something." And he said, "What are you talking about?" And I said, "Well, I gave my testimony last week in Cleveland, Tennessee, and I said something. The pastor mentioned something to me about it, and I should have talked to him, but I didn't." And he said, "Well, Bruce, what word do you think you might have said that would have been offensive?" And I said, "Well, the only word I can think of would be G-O-S-H, but," I said, "that's not a bad word, is it?" He said, "Have you ever looked it up in the dictionary?" I said, "No," and he handed me a dictionary across his desk. He said, "Why don't you look it up?" I said, "Okay." So I looked it up, and when I opened it up, it said, "A euphemism, a slang word for God." And I saw that, and I went, "I didn't know that." And my brother looked at me and said, "You know it now." And I said, "I guess I better stop saying that word." And he said, "Yeah, that'd be a good thing." And you know, there's a lot of words that we say, and I think we don't pay attention to what we say and how we say them. So I just want to ask you a question this morning in Sunday school. How's your tongue? You know, my daughter is 10 years old. She turned 10 in October. And when she was in vacation Bible school, when she was a little girl, I had to go with her when she was real little. I think she was 3. And I remember I enjoyed just being with her and watching her in the class. And she was just fixed on the teacher, you know, and the teacher said something like this. She said, "You know, children, the Bible cannot lie. Isn't that true?" And my little girl Callie is very loud, and she said, "That's right. It doesn't have a mouth." Oh, yeah, that's funny. It doesn't have a mouth, but it can sure speak to your heart. Amen. But the things that people say, you know, the Bible says in James 1:19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." You know, in the book of Job, when Job's friends came to give him comfort, the most comfort they gave him is when they were quiet. When they kept their mouth shut, when they opened their mouth, he said, "Miserable comforters are y'all." And sometimes it's just wise just to be quiet. I want you to turn your Bibles, if you will, for just a moment. We're going to read some more scripture here in James chapter 3. And I mean, there's so many places in the Bible where we could go to this morning where God deals with us about the tongue. But in James chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 1, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body." You know, I grew up with horses. And my family and I, we had horses, ponies and stuff. And we got to where we could train those horses. You know, usually you pull them to the left or you pull them to the right. But if you train a horse right, you can lay the right rein on his neck and he'll turn to the left. And you can do the same thing on the left and he'll turn. And you can train a horse. That's what it's talking about here in the Bible. It says, "Behold also the ships, though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it, the tongue, is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 5, the Bible says, "Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." I remember when I got saved and I ended up moving from Nashville, Tennessee and moved back to North Carolina, and I started going to my brother's church, and I'm still a member of there now. My brother is a assistant, associate, youth pastor, whatever you want to call his title there. I remember there was a couple in our church that were having a hard time with their marriage, and I was praying for them. And I remember walking down the hall one day, and I saw my pastor. And I'd been praying for this couple, but I really didn't know what the whole situation was, and nor did I need to know, to be honest with you. But that day, I guess it was just my curiosity was getting the best of me, and I saw my pastor in the hallway, and I said, "Pastor, how are so-and-so doing?" And he said, "Well, just keep praying." And I said, "Pastor, is there anything you could tell me that would, you know, help me to give me a better idea on how to pray or whatever?" And he looked at me and he said, "Bruce, what do you want to know?" I said, "Nothing. Not a thing." And I mean, that was like a dagger to my heart, because all that was my flesh wanting some dirt, wanting to hear what was going on. And I had no business even asking that question. And God convicted me of that day. I looked up the word tongue in the dictionary, in Webster's. It says, "The muscular organ attached to the floor of the mouth, used in tasting." I want you to think about this. It's almost like a house. See, it has a floor. "Chewing and speaking." Didn't say anything about kissing, but once you get married, hallelujah, you can kiss your wife. Isn't that good? The mouth is a house. It has a floor. It has a roof. And it has doors that can let out bad or good. Psalm 141:3 says, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips." Two sets of lips and teeth. Sometimes we just need to keep our mouth shut, don't we? I was in a restaurant in Tennessee. I have many people that I'm praying for. And I have some people in Murfreesboro and Nashville in that area. And I was there at a church, and I tried to get my friends to come to church with me. And they said, "Well, what are you doing Saturday night? before you were preaching Sunday morning. And I said, well, I don't have any plans. They said, well, come have dinner with us. And they told me where they were going to have dinner at this restaurant. And I knew what the place was because I used to go there when I was lost. And what happens is the restaurant, until a certain time at night, like 10 o'clock at night, it turns into a nightclub. The band comes in. They bring all the instruments. And I said, okay, I'll tell you what. I said, I'll come have dinner with you. I said, but then I'll have to leave. As soon as I get through eating, I've got to go. And I thought it was just going to be myself and four of my friends, a friend of mine and his wife and another friend and his wife. But they had invited a whole table full of people. So it was a great thing. I got to eat dinner with those people, share the gospel with the whole set of people that were sitting there. Made a lot of people uncomfortable that night. But I remember after we got through eating and after I got through sharing everything that I thought God wanted me to share, I saw the people starting to bring their band instruments in. And I said, uh-oh, it's time for me to get out of here. So I told them, I said, look, I had a good time with you. I said, I would love for y'all to come to church tomorrow. This is where I'm going to be and what time. Nobody came, but that's all right. I still got to share the gospel with them that night. But I was getting ready to leave the restaurant, and there was a young man talking to another man over in the corner. And the Holy Spirit of God, I don't hear voices or bells ringing, but sometimes that still small voice starts tugging on my heart to go talk to somebody. And I could see that guy standing over there, and I said, Lord, why do you want me to talk to him? I really want to get out of here before this thing turns into a zoo. And I said, okay. So I just walked over there close to where he was talking to this guy, just try to wait till he got finished talking. And I could hear the conversation. I wasn't trying to listen in, but he was being very loud. You know, he had a cigarette in one hand, a beer in the other, and he was cussing and talking. And I was sitting there going, okay, Lord, I can see why you want me to give him a track before I leave. That's for sure. And so once he got through talking, his friend went this way, and he started going this way. And I said, hey, excuse me, bud. He said, yeah. I said, look, I was getting ready to leave this restaurant. I had some dinner with some friends, and I said, but the Lord just impressed upon my heart to share this gospel tract that I wrote with you before I leave. And his head dropped down, and he said, oh, man. He said, I appreciate that. He said, I'm a Christian. I said, you are. He said, yes, I am. And he said, you know, he had it, and he was embarrassed, you know. And I said, look, buddy, I said, I'm not judging you. And I said, all I know that I was getting ready to walk out of this restaurant and God wanted me to speak to you and talk to you. And he said, well, I really appreciate that. And I said, look, you know, and I shared this verse of scripture with him. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. I said, one minute you told me you're a Christian, and just a few minutes ago I said, I wasn't trying to listen in, but you were being very loud. And I heard the filth that was coming out of your mouth. And I said, if you're a Christian, I said, I just don't understand it. And I said, you know what? And I said, what are you doing here? He said, yeah, you're right. You're right. And I said, look, I said, again, I'm not trying to judge you, but I said, if you're truly my brother in Christ, I want to challenge you to think about what you're doing and about if you don't have a testimony. I said, you'll be like Lot, who was in Sodom and Gomorrah and tried to get his friends, you know, to come out of there before God sends judgment. And I said, are your friends going to listen to you and you drinking and smoking, doing the same thing they're doing? I said, you're not going to have a testimony. He said, you're right. And he said, I appreciate you talking to me. And I left. And it was not long after that I was in my hometown, and I was getting some gas at a service station. I walked in. I gave the lady my money. And as I was giving her my money, this guy was right in the middle of telling a pretty rank joke. You know, and I handed her a gospel tract. I handed him one, and I walked out to finish doing my gas business. And a few minutes later, he came out the door. And he said, Bruce, he said, I really appreciate you giving me this track. He said, I'm a Christian. He said, I've already apologized to that lady in there for the joke that I was telling her. And he said, I came out here to tell you, thank you for handing me that. But he said, because God smote my heart. And we had a great time of fellowship out there in the parking lot that day and just encouraging him and the Lord. And sometimes, you know, it is a good thing to speak up, and other times it's good to keep your mouth shut. You just have to ask God what to do, when to do it. Do people curse around you? Are they comfortable when they do it? You know, there are a lot of times when people that are around me that know me, if they start cursing around me, they'll stop and say, hey, I'm sorry about that. I don't say anything. And I used to do the same thing. When I was lost, my younger brother and I would go to my brother's house. My brother Sammy was saved, and we would go to his house. I'd always watch what I say. Why was I doing that? Because I knew that he believed in God. I knew that he didn't talk like that. And I tried to be respectful of him. I didn't realize I was respecting the God that lived in him. But the thing about it is, if people can be around you and curse around you and it doesn't bother them and they're comfortable at doing that, there's something wrong. Either you're not speaking up like you should, or you're not living the life that you should, because if people are around a Christian, when they cuss, it'll make them uncomfortable. The Bible says in Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Nothing is opened more by mistake than the mouth. I'm going to read you some scripture here. Proverbs 29:24. Whoso is partner with a thief hateth his own soul. He heareth cursing and bereath it not. That word bereath means to bring it to light. And sometimes when people are cursing around you, you need to say something. And you don't have to be harsh. Hey, you devil, what in the world are you talking like that for? Are you going to hell? No, you have to stop and just say, look, you know, this. I'll give you an example. I was at a football game. My younger brother gave me some tickets to, I'm an old Redskin fan, and they were playing the Carolina Panthers. And I was preaching in a church down there, so I was able to go to the church and then go to the game afterwards. And so the guy that I took with me, my brother was not able to go, so I used that ticket to take a friend of mine that I'd led to Christ to the game. And we had the nosebleed section seats, you know, and the game was out of this world. I can't remember who was winning, but a lot of people left the stadium. And so I said, why don't we go down there and sit in one of them other seats? We can see a little better, you know. So we went down and sat down, and it was a bad mistake because I went and sat down, and the guy behind me, oh, man, he had been drinking all day long, and I mean, the words were flying, and then he used the Lord's name in vain. And I remember it broke my heart. And then when he did it the second time, I turned around, and my tears coming down my cheeks, and I said, sir, I said, I know you don't mean to say what you're saying. I said, but that's my father, and you're using his name in vain, and I would really appreciate it if you wouldn't say that. And he got real nervous. He said, well, and he looked, you're not even in the right seats. I said, you're exactly right. I looked at my friend, I said, it's time to go, you know, and I left. But, you know, sometimes it's all right to stand up, because if somebody's cursing, if somebody was cursing your earthly father, would you say something? Would you defend him? Absolutely. And sometimes we need to defend our God, but we don't need to do it in a harsh, harsh way. We can do it in a loving and a kind way. You know, cursing is a cancer of the tongue. And men and women in many cultures have warned us about our speech. These verses by an unknown writer say it well. This is a hard poem to read, but I'll try to get through it. The boneless tongue, so small and weak, can crush and kill, declared the Greek. The Persian proverb wisely saith, a lengthy tongue and early death. Sometimes it takes this form instead. Don't let your tongue cut off your head. While Arab sages this impart, the tongue's great storehouse is the heart. From Hebrew wit the maxim sprung, though feet should slip, don't let the tongue. A verse from Scripture crowns the whole. Who keeps the tongue doth keep his soul. You know, you ever get around those people and say, well, I just say whatever's on my mind. You ever get around those people? You know what God says about that? Proverbs 29:11, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. Proverbs 29:20, seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There's more hope of a fool than of him. And Proverbs 21:23, whoso keepeth his mouth keepeth his soul from troubles. Keeping your mouth shut will keep you from a lot of troubles. Have you ever talked to someone who was asking for a busted lip? Have you ever been sitting and talking to someone and you're looking at him and in your mind you're thinking, he wants me to hit him? Everything he's saying is, Bruce, hit me. Has that ever happened to you? Or is that just me? Maybe it's just me. Listen to this verse. I saw this. I got so tickled. Proverbs 18:6 says, a fool's lips enter into contention and his mouth calleth for strokes. He's asking for a busted lip, I'm telling you. And Proverbs 10:19 says, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Proverbs 25:2, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. Proverbs 18:8, the words of a talebearer go as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. And again, I said at the beginning, I wish I could take back some things that I've said. And, you know, after I got saved, there were some people that I went to and said, look, I said some some mean things to you. And I went and made some things right with people for some of the things that I'd said to them when I was lost. And the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And you can use your tongue to share the gospel, because the Bible says in Proverbs 8:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Just like the man in the song that I just sang, that one statement he said, and that little boy was listening to every word he said. He said, I want to go with my daddy. Wherever my daddy's going, that's where I'm going. And his daddy was headed for hell. And it's a sad thing. There's a lot of men and women who don't believe in God, who don't take their children to church, and that's where their children are heading, unless, of course, a bus comes by and picks them up and takes them to church. A lot of people say they're Christians, but when they talk, you'd never know it. I did a Christian camp in Dayton, Tennessee, and I remember when I got there, it was the first time I'd ever been to this camp, and nobody knew me at that time, and I was just walking around, and there were buses with Christian schools' names on them and church names on them, and I was just walking around and listening to the kids talking, and I'm telling you, I heard some pretty bad stuff. So when it was my turn to get up and sing that day, I said, kids, I want you to know, I said, I walked around, I said hello to you. I said, you didn't know me from Adam's house cat. I didn't know you, but I was just walking around, just kind of observing. And I said, I want you to know that you've got Christian all over your buses, and you're going to church. And I said, but many of you, I said, the words that I heard coming out of your mouths, young people, grieved my heart. And I just challenged them on it that day. And the Bible So many things. Let's keep reading here. I'm going to get choked up. Colossians 3:8. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Proverbs chapter 6, we won't turn there for time, verses 16 through 19. God has a hate list. Seven things that God hates. And three out of those deal with the tongue. God's very serious about how we use our tongue. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. I heard J. Vernon McGee say this one time, and I wrote it right above this verse. There's a band-aid of silence wrapped over the cancer of sin. There's a band-aid of silence wrapped over the cancer of sin. And if we're ever going to have any kind of revival, it's going to have to start in our hearts. And what's in our hearts will come out of our mouths. The Bible says in Matthew 12:34, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 2, it says, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. Proverbs 30:32, if thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, or if thou hast thought evil, lay thine hand upon thy mouth. You know, just because you think something in your head doesn't mean you have to let it come out of your mouth. And Proverbs 17:2, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips. Proverbs 20:19, he that goeth forth as a talebearer revealeth secrets, therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Matthew 12:36, this is a very sobering verse. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. You know, that word account means a verbal rendering. So one day we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to tell him why we said what we said, with the heart motive behind it and everything, because every idle word we'll give an account of. And this includes, by the way, text messages, anything you write on type or paper. The tongue is the tattletale of the heart. Wise is the person who knows what to say, but when not to say it. To silence gossip, don't repeat it. If you don't have anything good to say about someone, don't say anything at all. You know where I got that? Out of the Book of Mama Sayings, chapter 21, verse 2. My mama said that over and over and over when I was a little kid. But God says it like this in Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good use of edifying, that may minister grace to the hearers. You walk talks and you talk talks, but you walk talks louder than you talk talks. Amen. And this is one of the greatest quotes I think I've ever heard. Silence is often misunderstood, but it is never misquoted. Silence is often misunderstood, but it is never misquoted. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. then they stick out their tongue at you. That's a cute little rhyme, but it's a lie of the devil. And I'm going to hurry quickly here and finish this. Matthew 26:73, when Peter was denying the Lord, and after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. You know, I have people come up to me a lot of times in my hometown and say, oh, you're Sam and Joan's son, aren't you? Or you're Sammy and Dale's brother, aren't you? You ever had anybody just walk up to you and say, you're one of God's children, aren't you? I could tell by the way you talk. I could tell by your speech. Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. Proverbs 17:27, and he that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, Proverbs 17:28, when he holdeth his peace is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Do you gossip? If you're a gossip, the Bible says that gossipers are haters of God. Romans 1:29, being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Psalm 34:13, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Be careful what you say about your pastor and other godly men in leadership. God forbid that you would ever leave this church and talk about the man of God. God's not going to put up with that. He's not going to let that happen. You know, in Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 through 16, you can read about Miriam. She spoke against Moses and became leprous just like that. 2 Kings in chapter 2 and verse 23 and 24, the children mocked Elisha. Go up, thou bald head, over and over, they said. And two mama bears came out of the woods and tore 42 of them. I look up that word tore, and it said ripped up and tear. I don't know if it killed them. God made sure they didn't talk about that man anymore, that's for sure. You know, I have a friend of mine that has a church in California, and his sons were growing up, and he would let them mow the grass at his yard. And he told his son, he said, as soon as you can mow the yard at our house, exactly like I tell you, he said, I'm going to let you mow God's grass at the church. And this young man, who had been homeschooled and kept away from things of the world, so I mean, you can't keep your kids from everything, but he did the best he could, and just trying to keep him from some of the filth and things that will drag you down as a young person. And so one day his dad told him, he said, son, you're doing so well on the yard here at the house. He said, this Saturday you're going to mow God's grass. And this young man was so excited, and he got the lawnmower out there that Saturday morning about 9 o'clock or so and started mowing the grass just like his daddy had taught him. And he was just so proud that he was able to go out there and do what his daddy had asked him to do. And there was a lady that lived right across the street, and she came running out. She had her rollers in her hair, and this is the way I picture her anyway, and her nightgown still on. And she ran out there, and she started cussing him up one side, down the other. And this young man had never heard any filthy language like that in his life. And he turned the lawnmower off, and he was just standing there taking this tyrant from this lady. His dad saw what was going on and ran over there to try to stop the lady, and the lady started cussing the preacher. It was not long after that that she found out that she had cancer. And guess where the cancer was? In her tongue. It was in her tongue, and they had to surgically remove her tongue from her mouth. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:31, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. Cursing is a cancer of the tongue. How's your tongue this morning? Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Father God in heaven, thank you for your word, and I pray that it spoke to hearts this morning. I pray that this was the message that you led me to. I pray that it was the one that was needed. And Father, I pray for us all to be careful how we use our tongues. Hey, with every head bowed and every eye closed, God spoke into your heart this morning. Would you raise your hand so I could pray for you? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for being honest. Maybe you're here this morning, you've never used your tongue to call out and ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior. If you're here this morning and you have any doubt about whether you would go to heaven if you died right where you're sitting, would you let me use my tongue to pray for you this morning? I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Say, Bruce, if I died right this second, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Is there anybody I could pray for this morning in Sunday school? Just raise your hand. I'll pray for you. looking around. God bless you. Anybody else? Bruce, pray for me. Not sure if I died right now. I go to heaven. Father God in heaven, I thank you that you would allow me to use my tongue to preach the word of God and to pray for this one that has raised their hand, not sure that heaven's their home. And I pray before this day is over that they would come, bow their head, bow their heart, bow their knee, and from their tongue they would confess you as Lord of their life so they could be born again into your family by putting their trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. God, help us as Christians as we go out into the world to use our tongues in a way that would be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.